This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture. It's Monday afternoon. You're with Tina Carmelia, Lim Soo Ann and Sumitra Salvaraj. Here's our lineup today.
Calorie counting apps are useful for many people, but it could be harmful for those with eating disorders.
And in the women's World Cup is over. What now is the fate of women's football?
Which is why we're asking you on Twitter, has the recent hype over the Women's World Cup convinced you to start following women's football? So your options are yes, no, or I already followed it. So you can join the conversation by tweeting us any of your thoughts at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can also call us at 03-7733-2900.
Meanwhile, here's Blue Monday by Fats Domino.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, thanks for sticking around. Sue Ann has our first story.
So last week, an investigation by the BBC into several calorie counting and weight management apps found content in these apps that logged self-harm and punishments for overeating. So what they see is that the use of these apps could exacerbate eating disorders among their users.
And it's tens of millions of people around the world who use weight management apps, right, to set weight loss goals, log calorie intake and eating habits. And you're almost spoilt for choice when you look for an app to download onto your phone. Now, these apps aim to make it easier to keep track of the food that you're eating, and hopefully you keep away from all the high calorie food. Sounds kind of simple, but that's exactly where it becomes problematic.
Yeah, so when looking into several popular calorie counting apps, the BBC found more than 20 harmful entries generated by users into these apps. While there were hundreds of thousands of legitimate food items logged, there were phrases such as starved, I overate and I hate my life, failure, my stupidity, and many more along those lines. And these entries reflected dangerous cycles of starving and binging.
So why exactly are these apps so harmful for people struggling with eating disorders, and can they be useful at all? So earlier today, I spoke to clinical psychologist Vizla Kumarasan for her take on this. So here's our conversation. So first, could you explain what are the thought processes that occur in people struggling with eating disorders?
People with eating disorders, and by eating disorders, I mean, if we follow strictly what's listed in the DSM, it's anorexia and bulimia, where there is an obsession with people's their weight and what their bodies look like. And because of this, they engage in very restrictive behaviors regarding food and eating. They would be, you know, highly restrictive of calories that they consume, of the type of food they consume, what categories of food they eat, how much they eat, how much weight they've lost. And all these things are something they're thinking about all the time. They are obsessed with these thoughts.
Mm-hmm. And what are the underlying factors that commonly cause these disorders?
With regards to eating disorders, I think there are a myriad of factors. I think one of the biggest factors that have been sort of underlined is perfectionism, a need to be perfect, a need to look a certain way, very, you know, idealistic ideas about what the body should look like. And it's not only about low weight, it's also about, for example, muscular structure. Mm-hmm. So we see in men as well a lot of eating disorders revolving around what an ideal male body looks like.
Mm-hmm. So going back to eating disorders and the use of all these weight management apps or calorie counting apps, are they highlighting an existing problem, or are they actually facilitating or exacerbating eating disorders?
Eating disorders have been there for a very long time. So I don't think it's the apps are causing the problem. I don't know if it's even exacerbating a problem. I think it provides another tool for people with eating disorders to ruminate about their body issues.
Mm-hmm. And what is it about these apps that's so problematic for people who are struggling with eating disorders?
Like I said, it's another tool. You know, it's an app that feeds into their obsessiveness. I mean, for example, tools like apps like this require you to constantly monitor what you're eating, and this is exactly what people with eating disorders have. You know, to constantly log down everything they eat, how many calories are in it. So in a way, the calorie counters make it easier for people with eating disorders, but that is not all there is to it.
Do you think that these apps can be used in a constructive manner? Is it possible?
I think it is definitely possible because there are many treatment modules developed for people with eating disorders where they can actually use these apps, use diets in a more constructive way. And I think what needs to happen is that the people who develop these apps work with psychologists and dietitians and experts on eating disorders to find ways in which the apps can be directed more positively when used by people with eating disorders.
And what else do you think that developers can do to ensure that they don't inadvertently enable harmful behaviour, especially this obsessive logging among their users?
I think for starters, clear instructions. Apps have reward systems for when people have met their daily goals.
Mm-hmm.
So to also have alert systems when people are having too few calories, for example. But the best thing to do would be for these app designers to listen to what is, you know, how the apps are being used by people who have these disorders, and to work with what the feedback that they are getting to constantly improve the app. So it's not just about thinking about the ideal users, but also thinking about these users who maybe the app designers didn't think about when they put the app together.
So that was clinical psychologist Visla Kumarasan.
Visla made an important point during her interview about the fact that, you know, this is not just a problem that women and girls face. You know, mm-hmm. men also have problems with eating disorders. Mm. And in fact, in a BBC News report, which interviewed several individuals who were struggling with eating disorders who had used these apps, a 21-year-old student said that the app had allowed his eating disorder to spiral because he would only pick foods that he could put into the app. And even when he had binged on food, he still logged it as best he could, which fed into the whole illusion cycle that he was in control, when in fact it really was the app that was controlling him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another individual developed anorexia while using one of these apps and even became addicted to exercise to the point where she was hospitalized. She found that she had become overly obsessive with knowing everything that was going on in her body in logging her food intake on the app.
But BEAT, which is an eating disorder charity in the UK, has said that these mobile apps could facilitate unhealthy eating behaviours, and those who already struggle with eating disorders would count calories or track weight loss to the point of obsession, which can then make recovery harder for them.
Yeah, and in the meantime, the app developers themselves have come out to say that their apps actually try to promote healthy eating, do have safeguards in place to protect some of their more vulnerable users. And one of the app developers told BBC that it had immediately deleted the unhealthy entries that the article had highlighted and would continue to do so when they see similar future entries. They also added that they would encourage users who log too few calories to review their goals, and that these users would not receive a congratulatory post for the day. But I don't know, that just seems a bit... If you don't eat enough food, you don't get a congratulatory post. It seems you're putting too much... At the same time, you're still increasing dependence on these apps.
Well, that's a different conversation to have, right? Because that's the whole thing about the validation and the instant gratification that social media gives mm-hmm. you. But I think with regards to the apps, I mean, without taking away from the conversation on eating disorders, I've used one of these food logging apps myself, and I was miserable. It took away all the joy of eating when, you know, I had to weigh every chicken breast and, you know, count every how many florets of broccoli I mean, where's the joy in it? And and of course, I think things have changed slightly over the last couple of years. But, you know, 5 years ago, these food logging apps were not very friendly towards Asian food.
No, not at all. Yeah. So you end up having to eat Western food because you want to be able to log your meals.
Or if you have a gigantic plate of char kway teow, you're like, well, I don't have to log that because it's not on the list.
It's a self-reinforcing cycle, isn't it? Because when you're trying to log it and then you're controlling your food, you're obsessing over your food. And then as Vizla said, that obsession kind of feeds back into any obsession that you have if you have a eating disorder. And I think it's just, if you are aware of it, then it could be useful. But for people who perhaps you are not so, you already have a particular obsession with what you're eating, then these apps, you can misuse these apps.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think I've ever logged my food or my eating behavior on an app. But I have definitely been a little bit more disciplined with my food. But I've always gone with this guesstimating kind of route rather than, you know, being very precise with like exactly how many calories and how my macronutrients and all that. I think I used to have like a spreadsheet that so it's not an app, so I don't get a congratulatory post or whatever it is, or a badge, a milestone and so on. But I've logged my food intake not as obsessively. So I think if I were to use an app, it probably wouldn't harm me the way that it's harming some more vulnerable people.
But I think it's also fair to be able to look at the purpose of the app, right? Anything that requires self-logging, anything that requires you to be accountable to a goal in the end is flawed to start with if you are talking about a human element of having to enter data.
That's right. Yes.
So, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of these apps at all, only because it really messed up my relationship with food for about 6 months until I deleted the app, which was the best day ever.
And now you just eat mindfully, I suppose.
Mindfully, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, the app developers, some of them have also come out to say that they will try and moderate these entries, but I don't know how easy it would be to moderate these entries when it's self-reporting, isn't it? You write it however you want. You would have to have an algorithm that would be able to go through this many and actually note what are the red flags. But then people, if it's a human element, like you said, Sumitra, there's a flaw that people might not log everything either.
However, I can see the advantage of the app if you are talking about it being used alongside, let's say, for example, let's take the example of somebody who's struggling with an eating disorder and is seeking treatment for the eating disorder. And they use the app because it's been prescribed by their doctor or their psychiatrist or their psychologist to kind of help with as a food journal as to this is what you've been eating. Because a lot of the cases, especially with younger people who've been diagnosed with eating disorders, they're not allowed to weigh themselves. They're not allowed to do it. All they can do is be able to log their food. So if used properly, I can see how it would be useful.
Definitely moderated in its usage, I suppose. Well, let us know your thoughts. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp 018-789-789 or call us 7733-2900. Coming up, the conclusion of FIFA's Women's World Cup right after Love Yourself by Sufjan Stevens. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.